As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
Here we are with another edition of the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding. Happy to be here back in the, editing chair here at the studios. And happy to have another great Rusty Satellite Show lined up for you today. If you stick with me for the whole show, I got two great guests. They're both women, and both have lived out of town and love being in Louisville. And I just really enjoyed. This is one of the first times I had both of my guests show up at the studio at the same time. So I took a rare thing, a photo of both Sarah Brofancher and Susie Eastman together in the studio. So if you go to RustySatelliteShow.com, you can check that out. I'll have a picture of that there, as well as on Louisville.am, where this show airs. And as we get into the fall, and it's, you know, it was Labor Day over the weekend, and now it's, you know, the party time's sort of over. Summer's over, and we're getting serious about business and things that are going on in town, important things. I tell you, I want you to stay tuned for my second guest, Sarah, who I've known quite a while. We met, I don't know how long ago it was. I was doing freelance work for the Fund for the Arts, but it was a while back. But Sarah has since run for office. She's got a lot of ideas, a very smart woman, and I'm very excited about having you listen to our conversation about politics and media, things like that. So that's coming up in the second half of the show. The first half is a woman I just met, just found out about this thing going on with the Idea Festival, and I'll explain in the interview, but the Flyover Film Festival has partnered with, it's a six-year-old film festival, has partnered with Idea Festival, which comes up later this month. I'm sure you'll remember among my first guests on this show was Chris Kimmel, of the founder of the Idea Festival. And, you know, it's really exciting to have all those smart people come to town and hear some of the great new ideas that are going on. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Idea Festival in the next few weeks. But first of all, I want to get on to the interview with Susie. And that's S-O-O-Z-I-E, Susie. And she is in charge of the film festival. She's a native of Louisville, grew up basically in Oldham County, and went to U of L, and then went out west for 12 years. And that's a really, it's really great that she came back. I was, it's sort of like me and a lot of other people in this town. We leave and we come back. And very happy to get to sit down with Susie. She's really got some great ideas, doing some important work, and I think this film festival is going to be great. So here's my interview with Susie Eastman. And welcome back to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is my next interview with a very fascinating person, Susie Eastman. Susie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And now you have an amazing little story. I'll let you tell most of it, but basically you grew up here, left, came back. A lot of people do that. I did that way back in 1989. So I guess the question is, what brings you back?
Well, how can you not absolutely be in love with Louisville? And even though I lived in Los Angeles for the last 12 years, I always referred to Los Angeles as my girlfriend and Louisville as my wife. And that she was steady and predictable and all of those things that made you feel like you were at home. But Los Angeles kept it exciting and constantly changing. So there was always this attraction to being in Los Angeles and seeing what I could make possible out there, but I knew at a certain point in time that I would want to make an attempt to come back here to Louisville, to come back to my wife, my home sweet home.
Well, a lot of people make this move because of a love interest, so can we rule that out?
Or rule that out, yes. Yes, though not opposed to finding one here in Louisville. It's just not the reason for the move.
That's
no.
not why you made the move.
No, okay. Sir.
Too many weird guys in L.A., I know.
No, I never said that.
Now, the most exciting thing, I guess, going on, I don't want to presume in your life, but this Idea Festival merged with the Flyover Film Festival. Tell me about that whole background, because it sounds very exciting.
Oh, absolutely. It's a fantastic opportunity. So, you know, the Louisville Film Society has been putting on Flyover Film Festival for the past 6 years. It's been a great success locally, but I know that the mayor had approached Chris Kimmel of Idea Festival and George Parker, the chair of Louisville Film Society, and said that he really had a goal of a film festival that had a further reach than what Flyover had. Attracted a lot of locals, but we really needed to access the nationwide consciousness of independent film. So he really put that bug in Chris and George's ear, and they've been going back and forth in the last couple years. And so this year is the reality. It's finally
And they said, we know just the woman to take over, right?
Well, you know, George is incredibly busy. He and his wife, Kylie Lane, have been very busy with this film of theirs called Raising Miss President, which is launching on the Day of the Girl, October 11th. They are having a nationwide viewing of their film in all 50 states. And so George is incredibly focused on that and making that a success, which I know it will be. And it just really started coming to the board that there really needed to be somebody focused on this full time, that this new incarnation of Idea Festival IF Film needed to bring somebody in who could just produce this event with no other, you know, projects on their mind. And I'm currently working on a documentary, but I was able to put that on hold for this project and just kind of jump in the driver's seat. And George has been more than supportive, and the board of, you know, Gil Holland, Stu Pollard, William Maypother, and Nancy Taffel. They've just had my back for us putting this into fifth gear. Wow. And making it happen.
So, okay, now, for listeners who don't know, and for me, this film festival, it's basically, I guess it's just like premieres of films, one right after the other, you know, one day, one film, one in the next. I mean, how do you... And you just, I guess you promote a lot of people from out of town to come in, right?
A lot of people from out of town come in, but what we also find to be very important is premiering films by Louisvillians or films that have been shot here in Kentucky that have not mm-hmm. screened here previously. They might have played somewhere nationwide in terms of a festival somewhere else, but they've not been brought here to Kentucky yet. And so we are the Kentucky premiere for all of these films. And we started off with a Louisville native, Jess Wexler, who now lives in Los Angeles. She's on Good Wife. She did a film that played at Cannes this year, Eleanor Rigby. And so we start the film festival off with our Kentucky sweetheart. She's coming back into town for it. And then really we have culled all of these films from various festivals, Sundance, Tribeca, South by Southwest, to see what are the award winners across the country, films that might not necessarily make it here into a theater, so that we can give film lovers that experience of sharing a film together. I think is very unique, as opposed to watching it streaming on Netflix or, you know, on Redbox.
Right.
There's a big difference about sitting in a theater and experiencing that with others. And so that's what we really wanted to bring here to Louisville.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. I mean, I guess the perception a lot of people have of film festival, it's not going to be, you know, your blockbuster or Superman movie or anything like that. It's going to be a lesser known sort of film that I guess is the difference that they just don't get the financing to get
wide release, or how's it?
Well, the thing is that generally independent films, and a lot of people, when you're not in New York and not in Los Angeles, you think of indie films being smaller, you know, art house films that are really not going to be seen by anybody. But a lot of times, famous actors and actresses love being in indie films. And the reason for that is because they're not CGI based. They're not action scene based. They're not these big blockbusters like Planet of the Apes. What they are is they're character driven films that really allow actors and actresses to do their best work, because it's not all about the flash and bang and chase scenes, and all the millions of dollars don't go into that. A lot of times, I had worked on a film with Meryl Streep called Dark Matter in 2007, and in all honesty, without, you know, divulging her wage, I will tell you that she was paid less than probably what somebody who works as a bank teller on a weekly rate would have made for that film.
Wow.
And the reason she would take that role is because it allowed her to really utilize her gifts as an actress. And so indie films, I think, get a bad rap anywhere between, you know, New York and Los Angeles a lot of times, because people think, oh, this is just a sleeper. Well, in all honesty, it is really a time for actors and actresses to exhibit their very best work. And
sure.
So that's why we think it's so important to share this with the middle of the country.
Well, great. Now, obviously, you have a passion for filmmaking and all that. Let's talk a bit about where you grew up. You grew up here. Where did you go to school? Tell me all that story.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Oldham County Prospect. I always say Oldham County Prospect because it's a little bit more rural out there. I grew up right on the river and running around with a VHS camcorder from the age of about 8 on, making news stories and commercials and whatnot in my backyard, and casting all of my neighbors as part of it. Best friends were not off limits ever. And so I went on to South Oldham High School, had a great time there, and went to University of Louisville for undergrad, but knew that I definitely wanted to work in the film and television industry. So after I wrapped up at U of L, which I absolutely loved, go Cards till the day I die, I went out to Chapman
University.
I was absolutely the game. And I have to tell you, I had to convince myself. I got tears in my eyes 3 times because this was my first time being back at the stadium since I was, you know, an undergrad. And so I got tears in my eyes 3 times, and I had to remind myself, buck up, you are at a football game. Like, there are no tears in stands at a football game.
There's no crying in football.
No, this is not an opera. This is not the ballet. Get it together. So, yes, I was definitely there.
Yeah.
And had a great time at U of L. It was all I could have ever wanted out of an undergrad experience. But I knew I needed to go on for my master's, because I had been working on a TV show in New York City the summer after I graduated, which was 2001. And unfortunately, 9/11 happened, and the channel I was working at completely closed.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed to kind of reinvent the wheel and say, okay, what can I do to start my life in the film industry if basically everything is closing down now? And I chose to go to graduate school. And I moved to Los Angeles, and actually Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
And went to Chapman University out there and got my master's in producing for television and film. Moved to Los Angeles right after my degree, and have been working in the industry ever since, in development, producing award shows, documentaries,
yeah,
short films.
That was like fun to say. It's not like most of us are accustomed to you go to work for a company and you work for that company, right? You go to work on projects.
Yes. So I basically would hop between the two. So I might work for about a year in development, and that would be at a desk. That would be a 9-to-7. There are no 9-to-5s in Hollywood. So like 9-to-7, 9-to-8, you know,
yeah.
Basically if somebody calls you at 11 p.m. and wants to know where their favorite pen is, you find their favorite pen. So, you know, really tried to pay my dues when I got out to Los Angeles, and worked a couple desk jobs, and then would hop off and do some freelance work, go back to a desk job, then freelance work. So it's been a little bit of both, and I've really loved both sides of it.
Yeah, well, it sounds very exciting. Now, okay, let's jump ahead here, and since you're talking about your career and everything, now this Idea Festival position, it's not a permanent, it's not forever,
no,
right?
No, no.
Okay, so there's work for you after this, or your bags are still packed?
Well, actually, my storage unit is still packed in Los Angeles.
Okay.
I brought 2 suitcases here to Kentucky to kind of test the waters and see what kind of creative opportunities there are for
mm-hmm.
me here. In reality, I've been working, as I mentioned, the last year and a half on my own documentary, and that can really happen anywhere nationwide. So I can shoot that here if that is meant to happen. But I'm really testing the waters to see what other type of opportunities are here. But, you know, right now, my main focus, as I mentioned, is Idea Festival and IF Film. Well, I just want this to be a huge success, and it's such a great opportunity for our city and for me personally, but predominantly for our city, this is such a great thing. So that's my heart and soul right now.
Well, yeah, it is. There's a lot of attention focused on it, and it seems like tying in with the Idea Festival to have all these smart people already here. I'm sure they'll want to go to the movies. Tell me one thing I should do at your festival, you know, without naming all 6, 8, 10, 12 films. What's one thing that I can't miss?
Well, I think that I would have to say that our big thing that you can't miss is produce screening at Slugger Field on Saturday. It was not only shot here in Louisville, and the lead, David DeSantis, is a Louisvillian. Mm-hmm. $5 of every ticket that's sold is going to local Down syndrome advocacy agencies. The lead star does have Down syndrome himself. It's a very heart-enriching, just good feel-good film. And to be sitting in the stands at Slugger Field and be able to watch a film that was shot at Slugger Field, I think is going to be a great opportunity for us.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Very exciting. I'll put it on my schedule, on my calendar. I'll be bugging you for free tickets, probably. But anyway, it sounds like a great event. Welcome back home. I'm glad you're here.
It's so great to be here. And if you just don't mind me mentioning the importance for Louisville Film Society, we are a membership-based organization.
Okay.
And if people really want to come out and see these films, the best rates they can get are if they join as a member of Louisville Film Society, and then they can get great discounts on individual tickets or passes.
Okay.
So we welcome them.
Direct people to a website then.
Absolutely. That's louisvillefilm.org. And we also have great opportunities for sponsors of businesses and organizations in the city. So we welcome them to come on board and be a part of this great first year of IF Film.
All right. Sounds very exciting. Thanks for being on the Rusty Satellite Show, Susie. We'll have you back.
Thanks for having me.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And thank you very much, Susie, for coming by and talking with me about the Idea Festival and the new film festival that's going on at the Idea Festival. We'll talk more about that later in the month. I may even have another guest related to that. To that show. So now is the portion of the show where I talk about some of the things going on in Louisville, in my life, and in your that affect you and your life. And I want to get right to that. First, I want to tell you a quick note about my real estate agent Bobby Sokoler and the Sokoler Medley team at Remax Properties East. I, as you know, I've done some work with Bob And I'm always reminded of Bob. Bob is very up to date on technology, as you know, and I get emails as often as I want them, detailing different prices of homes around the area. Bob just is really knowledgeable about real estate in general. Now he sold two homes for me, two homes for my. And a home for my girlfriend Paula, and Bob just sits down with you. You agree on a price, and he's got this deal where if he doesn't sell your home in 59 days, he'll buy it for an agreed upon price. And of course, it never usually doesn't come to that. Bob sold, he's got buyers lined up, and he sells homes quickly. So give Bob a call at 376-5483. Tell him Rusty Satellite sent you. And see if you don't get the greatest service in the world from my real estate agent, Bob Sokoler. So Now let's move on to what's going on in the world. You know, it was a big, big weekend, the end of the summer weekend on Labor Day. I had a lot of fun. I'll just tell you that. I played some golf. Want to thank you, all of you, that there were 200 of you that wished me a happy birthday on Facebook last week and on LinkedIn and on Twitter. Even my clout score went up thanks to that. I tell you, it's just different these days than when I was growing up. My mother, I think I may have mentioned, used to get upwards of 30 to 40 cards in the mail for her birthday on August 25th. I don't think I got one in the mail this year, but I got all those greetings. It's nice to know people think about you. I spent my birthday on the golf course, both Thursday and Friday of last week. Took a couple days off of my real job and just had a good time. There's a couple of stories in the news I want to mention, especially those of you who follow the show. You know this name, Corky Miller. Corky Miller had a big the Louisville Bat season ended over the weekend, and Corky Miller was honored. I think he's finally going to retire. I don't think he's going to be back again to play for the Bats. But Corky has plans to stay in baseball. I'm sure he'll be a coach somewhere, and very likely to be in the Reds organization. One of my birthday presents, in fact, tickets to the Great American Ballpark to see the Reds play the Braves, and my girlfriend got those for me. We were on the front row, and it was really great. It's nice to have a major league city so close by. We just drove up on a Sunday and took in the game. It was a wonderful situation. It's great to see all those former Bats who are in the Reds lineup. The guys like Devin Mesoraco and Todd Frazier and Billy Hamilton. We're all in the lineup and contributing to the Reds, who unfortunately aren't having that great of a year. But nonetheless, still talking about activities going on in our town. This has some news to it. I have, for almost every Memorial Day and Labor Day that I can remember, gone to the Ride My Bike downtown with the mayor. Mayor Fisher took up the tradition started by Mayor Jerry Abramson, and 3,000 people or so go down and ride their bikes along a designated route through the city. And it's always good. And lately, it's always been either to the west end to Shawnee Park or the south end to Iroquois Park. And, the traffic's held up. And every year I go down and see Jackie Green, who sold me my bike and is there on a volunteer basis to help make little adjustments to your bike. He always fills up my tires and all that. But Jackie had a sign up this time, it was some of the effect that 12 TARC routes were altered because of this event. And Jackie was making the point to me that he thought that the route should go along River Road, where no TARC buses go, and they wouldn't interrupt things, because it does affect a lot of people, especially, when you go to the West End, people use the TARC more for transportation to get to work, and when that service is not working, it puts them in a bind. And Jackie is a big advocate of biking, but he's a bigger advocate, I think, of public transportation, and really believes that the events such as the Ironman that went on a week ago should be lessened, because they really are inconvenient for people who depend on public transportation. So anyway, he says he's talked to the Mayor Fisher about that, and they're taking a look at things. It's funny, the ride used to go out on the East End, but I don't remember it going out to the East End for many, many years. The event's only been around 10 or 12 years, but anyway, it is fun. I've gotten a T-shirt almost every one of them. We got about 10 of them around here, and people that are not doing that, they're missing out on a really fun event, the hike, bike, and paddle put on by the city. So Wasn't that a great way to start Labor Day? And then the best thing came later with the I know a lot of folks went out to the University of Louisville game with Miami and saw Bobby Petrino's team do exactly what we all hoped would happen, and they took care of Miami 31-13. It was a great game, great crowd. The blackout seemed to work. There's a lot of stuff going on with the audience on national TV. It was the only college game on national TV. Great exposure for the university, and it's just really a good event. My seats are up in the UPS flight deck, which you might think, oh gosh, those seats, they may not be that good, but they're like on the 50-yard line. And they're you can look down and see the plays developing, and it's just a great view if you like football and if you like paying attention to football, which I do when we go to the U of L game. So this week they're playing Murray, and not likely to be a competitive game, but nonetheless, a U of L home game on a Saturday night should be a big time for all concerned. So. I'll see you out there, I'm sure. One of the things that get on to a serious matter for a moment. As you'll hear in my interview with Sarah Provancher that's coming up, the Metro Council has sort of one of the members of the Metro Council has sort of created a problem for himself, and that's Dan Johnson. I don't want to go on and on. If you listen to the show, you know how I feel about Dan and his problems with his personal finances and just in general, his activity on the Metro Council. And he's from District 21, which encompasses the area where I grew up, South 3rd Street, Taylor Boulevard, that area. And I just want to mention here that no one's reported, but I got contacted on Facebook by a guy I hadn't heard from since I was in high school, a guy named Robert Brooks. And he is still lives over there and is mounting a campaign, actually, to a write-in campaign. Dan is running. There is an election this fall and a general election, and you hear about the Allison Grimes Mitch McConnell race all the time. A lot of other races. Mayor Fisher is running, but you don't hear much about his race because his opponent is not well funded, etc. But Robert Brooks is a guy that I grew up in my neighborhood. He's about my age, and I hadn't heard from him since I was in high school, but he contacted me. He says he's looking to run for office, try to unseat Dan Johnson with a write-in candidate, as a write-in candidate. And this is really a long shot, because even though, I'll tell you why. Johnson, even though his actions in office are not impressive and he's done some things, scandalous things, he's more likely to get thrown out for an ethics violation by the Metro Council leadership than he is by the voters. The voters it's just a case of not being informed. And with the Metro Council, you have to live in that district, and I just don't think there are many great candidates that live there in that district. Now, Mr. Brooks may have a chance. I don't know. It would take more bad news for Johnson. But Brooks was he went to St. Thomas More, right across the street from my house. He has lived in South Louisville, went to DeSales, Watterson College of Business. He's just a regular guy, and maybe that's what the Metro Council needs. He put out a press release that I doubt will get much interest anywhere, but talks about Dan Johnson. He says, "Hey, I'm looking for more neighborhood association representations, the area where we have none." He wants to bring a voice. Basically, he's saying all the things you should say, but what Brooks is going to have to do is really make it known in that area to the voters. The details about Johnson's foibles, and that I really think that's the only way that a write-in candidate can even get a any sort of chance, and it's even that it's slim. But I'm proud of him for running. I'm proud of him for taking on Johnson. So, you know, it's, it, if nobody, if his campaign is unsuccessful, it's a, it's very likely to be another 4 years of a very Democratic council. So, anyway. That's enough on Dan Johnson for this week. We talk a little bit about that with Sarah Provancher coming up in a second. I just want to mention before we get on with Sarah's interview that former Rusty Satellite guest Larry Muhammad has a play this week. It's called Murder by Devil. It's about terrorism. It's a very appropriate, timely play. I think I'm going to really try to get down there and see it because it's a venue called 1031. It's on 6th Street, and I'd really like to see that venue. It sounds like a very cool place. I recommend you look that up. There's a story about it on LouisvilleKY.com that I wrote, and invite you to take a look at that. Get down there. It's only like $10 a ticket, and you can see a little bit of entertainment that is all local. So. There's been a little publicity about the play around town, but I hope you get a chance to go down and see Murder by Devil, the new play by Larry Muhammad. All right, let's get on to Sarah. Sarah is I met a while back, several years ago, when she was working for the Fund for the Arts. She I followed her race when she ran against Brent Ackerson for the District 26 Metro Council seat. And she owns her own communications firm, does some PR work, and is just a very interesting conversation I had with her. She's got a lot of ideas, and I think we need more solid citizens like her who are interested in issues, government, and politics, and media, and the role that media plays in the way our society works. I guess I would put it that way. So let's get on with the interview with Sarah Provancher. And here we are in the studios in the Highlands at the Louisville.am studios with Sarah Provancher. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thank you for having me.
And, you know, this appearance on Rusty Satellite, I'm sure it's a highlight of your career. But let's talk about the other highlights of your career, like politics. I know you have a great interest in local politics, and in fact, ran for Metro Council a couple of years ago, right?
I am very interested in local politics. I think that's where you can start to make a difference in your community. And since I was 21, and I'm in my late 30s now, I won't tell exactly how old, but since I was 21.
Well, I would never ask.
Thank you. But I've been involved in just a lot of community activities and organizations and serving on boards and committees. And those are all good, but really it's the elected officials that are making the decisions that affect our day-to-day lives, and that's the reason that I've been most interested in politics. It's a messy game, and I do say game because it can be a game sometimes, but you got to learn to play the game, and you got to get in there.
And boy, well, you know, and oftentimes it's disappointing that the people that are entrusted with this stuff. Now, we were talking earlier. I know you ran in the East End District.
District 26.
District 26.
Kind of Hikes Point, St. Matthews.
Okay. And Brent Ackerson, there won, and we won't bash him as much as I suggested that you move over to District 21 to run against Dan Johnson, right?
So, right.
I mean, how do you explain somebody in elected office with all those problems?
Well, the good thing is I love where I live, so I'm not moving anywhere. I have a great neighborhood, and whether I run again is still up in the air, and it could be even a state seat that I'd consider as opposed to a local seat. But, you know, the reason I want to get in the game is because you are seeing what you're seeing right now with the sorts of things that Dan Johnson is doing. One, clearly he's making some mistakes with who he's hiring, business-wise, managing money, and some of that's personal. And, you know, that's a personal issue, not a council issue. But two, I think there's a lot of outside interests that are controlling Dan Johnson and perhaps some of the other council members. And I think it's disappointing in the decisions that we're seeing them make because these outside interests are controlling them.
Sure. Now that provides us with a little transition because your whole, your professional life, you own a communications firm, right? So you know the importance of
media and getting the word out. Just for our audience that doesn't know, a little bit about your company and,
sure.
and how you came to Louisville, because you didn't grow up here.
I didn't. I've been here for about 11 years now. I came here. I was previously married to the executive director of the Louisville Orchestra, so we came here for the arts, really, 11 years ago. And still today, the arts are fantastic, but, you know, actors was thriving, the orchestra was thriving, the Kentucky Opera was thriving, the ballet, and, you know, since then, they've all been a little rocky, but we came here because we loved the arts. We loved finding a small but large town that had a great arts community. So I got very involved in the arts when I first moved here. Eventually got divorced, and I decided to stay. My ex left, so, you know, I like to think Louisville got the better half, if I say so myself.
Good.
But anyhow, I just grew to love Louisville, and I started a business while I was involved in the arts. I did a lot of work with the Fund for the Arts, which is where you and I got to know
each
other.
That's right. I used to do some work for the Fund for the Arts.
Loved doing that. And from there, I just ended up taking on some additional clients in the restaurant, hospitality, healthcare, technology industries, just across the board. My company is called Pro Communications, and we are primarily a public relations company. So not necessarily an advertising agency, more of a marketing communications. How do you get your message across? And that's something that I think would translate well into politics. And again, another reason why I'm interested in being in public office. As you were saying earlier when we were discussing this, not a lot of individuals either pay close attention to what's happening in their local, state, or federal government, or they just don't know. They don't know where to get the information. And to me, part of being a council member, part of being an elected official, state level, whatever level it is communicating to your constituents. And you can't just put out an e-newsletter and expect that they're all going to read it. I think you've got to hold open forums. I think you've got to walk door to door, to be honest. That is not dead.
You mean actually talking to people?
Talking to people.
Okay, in person.
In person. I knocked on about 4,000 doors when I ran for office and talked to a lot of people and heard the goods, the bads, and the uglies about, you know, what they thought about our area, our community, our economic development, everything. Down to the dog next door. So it's amazing what you hear, but it's important. You know, people want to talk to their representatives, and they should be able to. You're elected, you're paid to serve those constituents. So I think on the communication side, that that's an area that I really, if and when I'm elected to office at some point, that is something.
You can go ahead and practice your acceptance speech.
Right. Now, thank you. Right? That's something that I feel strongly about.
I'd like to thank all the little people.
No.
Well, let's talk about media a second. You mentioned the importance of communications and media. And you know, as a sort of semi-media critic, I believe, you know, all the tools that we have today in terms of the choices we have to make in media often results in people being uninformed about issues like government. Now, how do you think, is there a solution to making sure that people know, like the people in District 21 probably don't know that Dan Johnson's an idiot, right?
Right.
What can we do, or what can a politician do to break through that?
Well, again, I think it's going to where the people are, and it's giving them the information in the way they need it. So not everybody's going to read the daily newspaper, the Courier-Journal. Does that mean it's flyers? I mean, every area is different. Everybody gets their information different. And I've spent a lot of time in different districts around town. In the East End, a lot of people read the Courier. A lot of them get on the internet. In the West End, flyers, word of mouth, neighborhood gatherings, community center gatherings, church. I think there's so many ways that we have to get the information out. Unfortunately, not every politician uses those vehicles, and that's a problem.
Yeah. Well, you know, and another thing, like when you're talking about media, and I think one of the challenges of our government system is the way that it's set up. Like if you're running for judge, these judge races, it really bothers me that it's a countywide vote. And, you know, so these judges that nobody ever hears of, you know, are trying to get votes in every corner
right.
of the county, but nobody's going to get informed about who they are, right?
The judges' races are the hardest ones, I think, because you're right. Everyone's voting for you across the county, and how do you shake hands with the 1.5 million people in Louisville? That's impossible. So that's the tough part. And I, you know, again, that's where in my business, you know, we start with the low-hanging fruit, so to speak. So where are we going to get the most people, get to the most people, and get our message across? Is that an event down at the waterfront? That's why you see all the judges and their constituents wearing all kinds of bright colored shirts and banners and that sort of thing.
I saw a lot of that at the hike and bike over there.
Yes, yeah, and that's that. I mean, it works. But beyond that, I think you've got to go further. For example, I do a lot of work with Habitat for Humanity. I'm on their board of directors, and I do builds in the West End and in the South End. So I do some volunteer work on those builds. And that is a place where I can, you know, talk to constituents, talk to the neighbors around where we're building and see what they're doing. There's community events and activities in those areas. And not everyone's a voter, but there's voters in every part of the county. So mm-hmm. you never know who you're going to reach. And I do think in the judges' races, they sometimes spend a little too much time in their particular area. And so I think you just have to not be afraid to cross the boundaries of Louisville, whether you're from the West End and you need to come to the East End and campaign, or from the East End and go to the West End. You've got to be willing to go all over.
Okay, well, Sarah, I'm sorry, we had a little distraction there. That's okay. But let me ask you something. As a potential candidate for Metro Council in a couple of years, it's a long way off. You don't have a platform yet or anything, but what are the big issues right now? I mean, do you think Mayor Fisher is getting the job done? What areas need to be addressed, do you think?
I think Mayor Fisher has done a reputable job. I would not criticize him overall. I think he's done a nice job with handling this GLI situation and the economic development issues, which clearly there were some changes that needed to be made. And it sounds like by bringing the Louisville Forward back into the government, the economic development arm of the city, back into City Hall or near City Hall, it will be a positive thing as opposed to outsourcing that. So I do think he's done a nice job there. I think crime is always still an issue, even in my neighborhood. Which, you know, we don't have that much crime, but we do have break-ins, and the break-ins are ultimately caused by the drug and the alcohol problem that we have here. So getting people off the streets or getting them into situations where they can get help, and that's not an overnight problem.
Oh, I know.
Clearly.
And there's so many like dumb things that people do.
Yeah, really dumb.
Heroin. I mean, I have a lot of fun on the show sometimes talking about, you know, dumb criminals and why people over either drugs or because they're jealous of another person or something like that. I don't know that there's a solution. It just seems like maybe it's economic driven,
right,
poverty driven, but people do bad things.
Right, and they need something to do. I mean, ultimately, people need something to do, and if they don't have something to do, then they're going to turn to drugs, they're going to turn to alcohol. I did a couple of police ride-alongs when I was running for office, which I'm looking forward to doing again because you learn so much about mm-hmm. the city. Have you ever done a ride-along?
I've not.
It's a pretty eye-opening experience. I did one in my area, which is the Hikes Point, Bonaire, St.
Yeah.
Matthews area, and I did one in the South End. And honestly, you see some of the same situations, domestic violence, mm-hmm. which ultimately is caused by alcohol. You see, drug paraphernalia being hidden, sold, bought. I saw a lot of the same things in the different areas. It's
sure.
just you're not as exposed to them unless you get out and check it out yourself. So that's an area. I think crime is still a significant issue. The incident that we had downtown on the bridge with the group of juveniles,
right,
I believe it was, that, you know, just randomly attacked people, that's a scary incident. And you look at what's happening around the country, and that's something that clearly there's an underlying
yeah.
issue that needs to be addressed.
And I guess I want to say that while we were talking about media, you know, a few weeks ago, I really attacked the media because I think they do such a poor job when they scare people.
Amen.
You know, and then with that purge thing that was going on a few weeks ago, it's totally unnecessary, overblown, in my opinion. And there's no reason to just report things to scare people.
Yes.
And
yes. Well, and let me tell you, I was just explaining this to you. I had an opportunity to be in St. Louis last week, and while I was there, you know, Ferguson, Missouri is just 20 minutes north,
right,
west of St. Louis, so I thought, I'm going to drive through. I just want to see this firsthand for myself. And, you know, sure enough, the media was gone by the time I was there. And there were five protesters on the street.
Right.
Five. So it somewhat goes to show that when the media is there, people are going to make a big deal and the media hypes it. So
that's all for the media. Yeah. A lot of times it really is. So unfortunately, we're out of time here, Sarah, but I really appreciate you coming by. And, you know, we'll be watching to see when you are on the ballot again, hopefully in a couple of years. And thanks for coming by the show.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
And that will do it for another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. This is Rick Redding, ready to sign off for you. A few reminders for you that this show airs on the Louisville.am network. My good friend Dan Vonderhyde is the producer, and there's a lot of other good shows on the Louisville.am network. In fact, I was in the studio the other day, saw Stephanie White, the former Rusty Satellite guest, who runs Louisville Family Fun. I know you always hear the spots during my show for the beer podcast. They have a lot of stuff on beer on the show on the Louisville.am network. So I encourage you to tune in for those. Rusty Satellite Show isn't the only good podcast on Louisville.am. It's also available on iTunes. You can get it right on your phone. The Stitcher radio app is another place to listen to it, or just go to rustysatelliteshow.com, where I have pictures and a history of the show. You can see all the names of the guests that we've had, numbering some hundred and something by now. This is the 61st show, so it's a lot of good history. A lot of the people that are making things happen here in Louisville are former guests on the show. I'm always looking for new guests. If you'd like to suggest one, you can send me an email. The easiest email to reach me at is rick@louisvilleky.com, and I'd be glad to hear from some of our listeners about what they'd like to see on the show. It's it is the show about the most interesting people in the Ville. So until next week, every Thursday, this show it launches with a new episode. So put it on your schedule. Make it a regular thing. I'd like to give say thank you to Passport and Bob Sekulor for helping sponsor the show. And until next week, this is Rick Redding.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city. Now,